Yo, what's up, everybody? Hey.
You got echo.
Yeah, I faded it out. We're good. What's happening? Welcome to JavaScript Jam Live. We got back in the house. Well, he was here last week, but back in the U.S., Anthony's with us.
Oh, yeah.
All his lovely honeymoon Italy travels.
Yep, it was good times. I was tweeting some photos, so if people check out my timeline, you'll see some nice artwork and food and things like that. So yeah, it was fun.
Hey, can't beat food. Food's always a good choice to sending pictures about. Awesome. Very good. Well, I'm just going to invite a few people up here, and we'll get going. So welcome to JavaScript Jam Live. We do this every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Super excited for this one today, though, because we've been doing this little stint here, and we're talking about Magnolia.js. Yeah!
Oh, yeah.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. Burr, 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 burr. Yeah, super excited for that. Magnolia.js conference brought to you by Kayla Sween. Yeah. Totally. So she's there under the pumpkin face there. And we have also with us Todd. What's up, Todd?
How you doing, sir?
Yo, Todd Libby in the house. Yes. Oh, that's awesome. Todd Libby in the house. So glad to have you here today, man.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. We will dive more into that in just a second. But I just want to say, if you're listening and whether you're a beginner and developer or beginning developer or advanced, it does not matter. We want to hear from everybody. In fact, that just really creates more value in the room for everybody participating and listening and having fun, and really just opens up some really cool conversations. So if you have a question, if you want to make a comment, a fact, an opinion, a statement, whatever, request to come up, and we would love to have a chat. So this is a very open mic atmosphere. And if you have not already subscribed to JavaScriptJam.com's newsletter, simply go to JavaScriptJam.com. Put your email in the box, click sign up, and you're going to get our awesome newsletter that we send out every week that is created by our one and only Anthony, who's here with us today. The last couple weeks, it was Ishan because Anthony was on his honeymoon, but Anthony's going to be picking that back up, and we're super excited for that. He always delivers a lot of great value, and Ishan did as well. Actually, he did an amazing job while Anthony was gone. So, super excited to continue that, giving you guys value through that method of email. It's the latest and greatest in web development and, of course, JavaScript and what's been happening in the sphere of that. So don't miss out. And not just that, you'll hear about, like, you know, what we're going to be talking about on Wednesdays typically. So don't miss it. JavaScriptJam.com. All right. Enough said, I think, about that. Let's make some intros, and we'll kind of jump into some things and get rolling. So my name is Scott Stanley. I'm the technical community manager at Edgio. Anthony.
I am a developer advocate at Edgio.
Awesome. And Kayla, did you want to introduce yourself?
Sure, I'll just do it real quick. But yeah, I'm Kayla Sween. I am the organizer for Magnolia.js.
Awesome. And Todd is speaking at Magnolia.js. Todd, what's up, man? Tell us a little bit about you, and yeah, we'll go from there.
So I am a accessibility engineer / advocate. I do my own consulting. I am a accessibility for hire, if you will. And I also am an invited expert at the W3C working on accessibility. So WCAG 2.2, which just came out recently last Thursday, and working on WCAG 3, which is many, many years down the road. But that, and yeah, originally from Maine, living in Phoenix, Arizona, and yeah, it's hot here, so.
It's hot, folks. Yeah, I would imagine that's a big difference in climate from Maine to the desert area of Phoenix, Arizona.
Certainly.
Yeah. How long has that transition been?
It's been a couple of years now. Just bought a house out here last year.
So okay.
Just settling in, getting all settled in.
Cool, man. Awesome. So I got to ask. Forgive my ignorance if I just don't know, but what's up with the lobster?
The lobsters. The lobsters are one from being from Maine. I got to keep my Maine card. So I am a lobster fanatic. I love lobster, lobster rolls. Kayla will tell you that I am wearing a lobster costume while I give my talk at Magnolia this year. And it's just one of the foods that I worked with most when I was an executive head chef many, many moons ago, as I did that. And I did web design, as it was known as back then, a long time ago. But I was an executive head chef and then moonlighting at night as a web developer, web designer. So, yeah, it's one of my favorite foods.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing that personal bit about yourself. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't connect the dots. Maine, lobster, of course. Come on now. But the executive chef piece, didn't know that. That's super cool. Yeah, so food connoisseur, would you say? Chef, expert. That's awesome. That's really cool. Plus the moonlighting.
Yeah,
yeah, a little bit of a hustle there. That's awesome.
A little bit, yeah.
Super cool. All right. Well, we can get into it a little bit. Anthony, do you want to kick it off?
Yeah, so it looks like your talk is on deceptive patterns, which is that kind of a synonym for dark patterns or dark patterns, or is there a difference there? I'm kind of my first question.
So that's a great question, actually. And I have, over the years, heard the term since it was coined in 2010. It's been a widely used term. Dark patterns has been. I thought about it over the years, and for me, it seems more like these patterns we are seeing are more deceptive than they are dark. Dark kind of gives me the connotation of, oh, it's spooky. Oh, it's Halloweenish. Oh, it's something you'd see on Scooby-Doo as they go into a spooky mansion or something. Deceptive seems more in tuned to me as far as what these companies are trying to do, which is lead users down a path through deceptive means, whether with intent or without intent, to a path that the user does not want to take, basically so the company can make money, or the organization that does it can take your money.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And because the thing is, they're not hiding it from you. They make it obnoxiously hard to get there. And the way you would expect to go there first doesn't get you there. So they want you to basically give up before you could find out how to quit. So they're constantly diverting you or deceiving you. She's like, oh, I should go here to cancel this, but instead it's not there, so I have to go to a different part of the site to find it. So, like, that's kind of usually what I think of when I hear these things described. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, those are some of the patterns, exactly.
Yeah, so you want to call out like kind of some of what these are, and maybe even some companies or not. I don't know. Feel free to expand upon. Like, I certainly have experienced this. Like, anyone who's tried to unsubscribe from things has experienced it, but what are some like canonical examples you're giving?
Yeah, so you see it a lot with when you're trying to unsubscribe from a newsletter that you don't want anymore, because it's just filled with stuff that you're no longer interested in, or you just don't want the newsletter. And they fire back with a, you know, with an email that says, "Oh, we're sorry, you have to go," and that's unsubscribe shaming. So, or confirm shaming, which uses it toys with the user's emotions. And there are people who I've talked to that said, "Geez, I felt really bad because I was going to unsubscribe, but I ended up not unsubscribing." That's one way they hold you in.
It's a very like used car salesman kind of thing.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Exactly. As far as you know, you see it a lot. Actually, I've seen it a lot. I saw it with one of the. I unsubscribed from a, and I use this as an example. I unsubscribed from a T-shirt company, their newsletter, and they were like, "Oh, we hate to see you go, bestie." And I was like, "No, I don't think we were ever besties, but okay." So that's one example. You see it with timers. So if you've ever gone to a site and you've seen a timer that says, "Hey, there's 24 hours left in our sale," and you wait a while and you go back and it's like, "Yeah, there's 17 hours left in our sale," refresh the page. And if that refreshes back to 24 hours, that timer, then that's a definite deceptive pattern.
Yeah, they create false scarcity, essentially, to try and make you feel like you need to make a decision now or else you're going to lose out on something. And the good way to hack this is that sometimes you can use this to get, if you're like, "I'm not sure if I want to use this service next month," you'd be like, "Well, I'll try and cancel it and I'll get it for slightly cheaper next month at least."
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So that's another example. LinkedIn used forced action.
LinkedIn is the worst with these. LinkedIn, I got signed up once for like LinkedIn's like gold or premium or something. I didn't realize they had it. Basically, you get 1 month. And then it would charge you for an entire year's worth after that if you don't cancel it.
Yes. Yep. That's definitely one of those.
I will say they did refund it when that happened to me. And I'm like, "There's no way I'm paying you $600 for this." So yeah. At least they did refund it, but I had to go ask them for a refund.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the ways they hold you in. Another company being T-Mobile, you have to click through... and I also have this as an example. You have to click through a series of modals to get to the lowest priced tier on their plan for their plans, because they don't show it on the first screen. So you're making the user dig through to find the lowest priced tier. That's another way of, and the name of that is hidden subscription. So, like, you know, or hidden costs, I should say. You have to dig for that lowest priced plan, for instance. So those are some of the examples.
Here's one that I hate. When you sign up for, sometimes when you sign up for services, they'll sign you up for, like, 5 newsletters the company has or something. You're like, newsletter and a press announcement and blog posts. And then when you go to unsubscribe for one of those, it will only unsubscribe for that individual feed. So you're still subscribed to the other 4.
Yep. Yeah, I've seen those a lot as well. Definitely.
Yeah, like we can go on forever with this stuff. I wonder how much of this is like a holdover with like you get this with like mail order catalogs. Like I tried to unsubscribe from a mail order catalog once and they're like, "We need like your mother's maiden's bank account." It's like this just totally ridiculous thing. And with those, it's so low stakes because it's just, I don't want paper junk sent to me, but a lot of these we're talking about, it's for money, and like that really ups the stakes where people want to feel empowered of what they're doing with their money and when they're spending it, when they're not, and that's where it gets to really unethical.
Yeah, it stems from that time where, you know, you had to send mail in paper form to unsubscribe from something, or you know, you had to call an 800 number to unsubscribe, or, you know, when in, you know, the early days of email, you know, email which now is just a total, you know, convoluted process to do. So yeah, that's it's a process that they want you to become so frustrated you end up giving up and just say, all right, I'll just put up with this, and you know, I'll just delete them from my email and not see them again, for instance. So.
Yeah, people use this term learned helplessness a lot. Yep. That's exactly what it's, which, especially for people who aren't tech savvy, who can't really parse how these things are, you know, like where your note, like what is connected to your email versus your phone versus your, you know, your bank account and all this kind of stuff. So what is FAST?
FAST is the framework for accessible specification of technologies. So what that is basically is a set of guidelines that we have that was originally intended for internal spec review at the W3C. And now we've decided we're going to release this as public and let people use this as a optional set of guidelines.
Is this what they used to like write WCAG? Is that what you're saying?
It's based upon what WCAG is structured like, but it's not. It's a separate entity from WCAG.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I know WCAG was always hard for me to read, and I know people would always talk about like we should make the accessibility standards accessible, right? And it's like, well, it's a spec, so there's not a whole lot you can do about that, but. This is interesting. It's because it's creating a framework to try and make your specs more readable, kind of, that then is now being ported into something that is just generally trying to make accessible specification. Yeah, specs are such a huge, massive thing. I read a lot of the GraphQL spec once. It's like specs are almost more for the machines than for the humans.
and WCAG was written by people that are very technical. Or technical writers. It's a very technical manual, and I'm actually working on something that hopefully as a resource site will for the time being explain in simple terms what success criteria does what. But I know it can be a process. I get a lot of questions about it, and how hard it is to read because it is just so laced with technical jargon and people can't understand it. So, which hopefully as we work on WCAG 3, we are going to use more plain and clear language to write WCAG 3, which still way, way off, but down the road. But we've heard the public and we've heard that they want to be able to read this and not have to, you know, either ask somebody for help or they want to be able to understand it easier. So,
yeah, I'm dropping some links here and connecting them. It looks like they have a checklist too. That's pretty cool because, you know, the giving people really specific criteria is kind of the idea here. So, yeah, I guess, yep. Like, what is your talk going to kind of cover around FAST?
So it's just going to basically outline what we are working on as far as FAST goes. So it's an optional set of guidelines people can use for making sure that the technologies they are using and creating are accessible for people with disabilities, first and foremost. And then, obviously, as, you know, as something is made accessible, that helps everybody. And we have over 1,500 user and functional needs that we've gathered. I did a lot of extensive research into the deceptive patterns part where, you know, I asked people, what are some of the pain points you see as far as patterns in UX and UI goes? So that'll be in there as well. So basically, deceptive patterns in FAST will hopefully address distractions, interruptions, and lessening the harm that is caused on online, and hopefully, either physically or emotionally or mentally, lessening the harm as far as that goes.
Okay, yeah, and what I'm looking at here is from the last draft. Looks like it was 2021, and the things you're talking about are not in here. So I guess you're kind of talking about the current iteration that is being worked on right now, right?
Yeah, we have an editor's draft, and let me see if I can get that into the chat here, or I haven't worked this before.
Yeah, if you just give me kind of the general idea of what link I'm looking for, I can usually find it.
If you go to w3c.github.io/fast, then you'll have the May 2023 editor's draft.
Oh, great. Yeah, got it.
Good.
It's the new. Getting the newest here. Freshest W3C. Actually, yeah. Why don't you explain kind of what W3C is for people who are really kind of noobs on this?
So it's the standards body for accessibility, as well as, you have the CSS working groups. So the W3C is the body that, they develop standards and guidelines for the web.
Are they the reason we're never going to get HTML6?
That would be probably the HTML working group. So that's a different entity.
So the HTML working group is not a W3C organization.
Correct. They used to be. That's a long story and a slippery slope to go down. So
I've heard about this, the WG group versus W3C. This is kind of like when JavaScript had two rival groups trying to do it. Yeah. So
yeah, it was
the who West doesn't Side. Like committee fights.
Yeah, it was the West Side Story for web development, basically.
Okay, interesting. So how long have you been working on W3C? Like, how long have you been part of it? Because, it's a pretty legit thing to do. Like, if you're someone who wants to be doing the web, it's very, very consequential.
Yeah, I got into W3C officially in 2019. All the accessibility work that I had been doing for the past 2+ decades kind of led up to that. So before all the pandemic and the COVID stuff hit, I joined a few groups and a few subgroups that we have. And then the pandemic hit and I'm like, okay, I'm going to hit the ground running since I'm going to be inside for I don't know how long. So I really got immersed into the W3C around the beginning of 2020 and started really working on the deceptive patterns piece of what I was working on to try and get that, because I had caught wind that there would be a WCAG 3 coming down the line in about 5 to 10 years. So I wanted to see if I could get that into WCAG 3.
And is this by invite, or do you apply, or do you have a company that sponsors it? How'd you get in it, really?
So you can participate. You can participate without joining by going over to the W3C GitHub repo or account and, commenting on repos and stuff. You can join for free through community groups. And
it was like open source, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
that's exactly. Great. That because you want these specs to be accessible, and I think that was some of the problems with JavaScript, where the committee was basically whatever companies have the most money to put two people on the committee. Like all those people were, most of those people were very, very deserving of being on there, but still you end up with this kind of there's financial incentives involved.
Right. Yeah, and that's kind of the way the W. is, they have people from Apple, Google, Oracle, so on and so forth. They have ever
browser kind of people.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, they do a lot of work with, you know, if I like my invited expert status is that because, you know, I used to be with Nobility. They sponsored my status when I left Nobility in 2021. I just became an invited expert. I had to apply through the process, and I go to meetings on a regular basis every week to stay, you know, up to date with what's going on and contribute that way.
Nice. And I find this interesting. I don't know if others do, but like, what are the meetings like?
We do them online. We do them. There's Zoom meetings that we have for the video meetings, and then we use IRC for keeping meeting notes and meeting minutes and stuff like that. So,
sweet. Are there other things about the talk that you want to kind of highlight, or like, what do you want people to take away from this?
What I want people to take away from the talk is, you know, to be able to spot these patterns and to not get trapped in, you know, something like, you know, you're clicking on something, but it's disguised as an ad, or, you know, you're being pressured into doing something basically that you do not want to do, and that which could lead you down a path to you spending money for, you know, something you don't want. So I want people to be able to spot the patterns, know what the patterns are, and to, you know, if you're a developer or a designer, don't subscribe to these patterns. I know it's difficult for people if they're working at an organization that does this, but there are ethics involved here.
And you can see once the spec is written, you can also then, those engineers can point to something and tell their boss, like, hey, like, this is against the spec. Like, you don't have to make that moral argument anymore. So it's really important to have these things be clearly delineated to give people, like, how these things happen with accessibility in general. Those ends up being encoded in law, even.
Right, yeah. And, you know, it's a call where you have to make, where do I do this because I'm told I have to do this, or do I do this because I just want to do this, but I have a choice. And there are ethical guidelines that the W3C does have online, which I have links to in my slides somewhere, but I don't have them up right now. The W3C ethical guidelines. Let me see if I can find that real quick.
They have a code of ethics and professional conduct, but I think you're talking about the TAG ethical web principles.
TAG ethical web principles is one, and the other is, there's a machine learning one as well.
Dnote?
I'm sorry?
Dnote? What is this? Dnote. Oh, never mind. That's just in the URL. I'm not sure what that is. Yeah, so what is TAG?
So TAG is, you got me on that one because I can't.
They don't say what it is in this document.
Yeah.
Technical Architecture Group.
There you go. Architecture Group.
Interesting. So it says the web should be a platform that helps people and provides a positive social benefit. As we continue to evolve, we must consider the consequences of our work. Following document sets out ethical principles that drive W3C's continuing work in this direction.
I was asked at one conference where I gave this talk, you know, the person asked me, you know, what about companies like Google and Facebook and you know, all that? They're never going to jump on board. And I'm like, yeah, they may not jump on board. It's, you know, they're all about the money and making revenue and stuff. But, you know, individually, people can, you know, take a stand. I know that
And companies can selfishly take these stands and they want to like seem ethical, which like in the end can also be good. So I think if you make this a thing where like one company is like, we care about this, and all these other companies suck because they don't, that pressures other companies to be like, oh, we have to at least pretend to care about this, and then it hopefully improves. Like that's could be one way that I can kind of end up shaking out, but you can't just expect that to happen by itself.
Right, exactly. And that's where we just are trying to give you the piece to say, here's what we think will lead to a more accessible digital experience for people. Do with it as you will, and here are some other resources for you in case you want to take it a step further.
Man, I love this. I've been complaining about these patterns for so long. I think, most web developers are pretty aware of it and very frustrated by it. And it's something that users of the web, they know it. They may not have the terminology to explain it, and they may feel like they're just in this like Kafka-esque hell, but they're in the Kafka-esque hell, and they know,
Right. Yeah. And I don't know, it's almost like once a day somebody's asking me, DMing me, emailing me about, what can I do? Because we're taking this component, for instance, and there's a deceptive pattern in there. And I said, oh, all you can do is talk about it to whoever, your team, your managers, your bosses, and just hope for the best. Hope you get support.
I would frame it as users don't like this. So if you force this upon your users, they will reach a breaking point where they will say, because this is so obnoxious, I'm going to spend 2 hours on the phone to yell at this Comcast employee and never ever use Comcast ever again. Like that happened all the time,
Definitely. There is a lot of frustration I'm also hearing as well. So, yeah, excellent point.
Yeah, I think with like you'll get streaming shows, like a lot of people will have like five streaming shows. So if one ends up being more obnoxious to cancel than the other, then like, okay, well, I don't even want to deal with this. Then you just jump out entirely. So I do think you can make business cases for this for sure.
Yeah, and the other thing is, to me, to think about it too, I was kind of thinking about like how, okay, for example, like I'll just go back to like you said T-Mobile, but I'll give you the AT&T example because I literally just went through something like this. So I upgraded to the iPhone 15, da da da, and I've had like a line for my iPad for like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. In the last like year or two, I haven't really used the cellular on my iPad, just because I haven't. And so I'm like, it's stupid to be paying like $15 a month for this thing. So I'm just gonna cancel that. While I was there, and they're like, oh, just go on your phone, go on the app, and then click on the iPad and click cancel line or whatever. And they're like, sometimes it works and sometimes you have to click it more than once. And I'm like, okay, that doesn't make any sense, but sure. So I did that. And then like it still wouldn't allow me to, and it kept popping up with call this number, blah blah blah. I'm like, yeah, it's because they want me to talk to somebody so they can talk me out of doing this. Like that's exactly what it is. And I'm like, okay, I get it. I get understand. Like, well, let's have someone like talk to you because we want to try and save the business, right? But like you said, it's like you get to a certain point. Like there's this, Anthony said, there's like this breaking point, right? And so the breaking point may not be that for some people, but it could be depending upon what they've gone through, right? If they've gone through this and this and this is already, they're already so frustrated, then they get to the point where they can't cancel. Now you've probably lost them potentially as a customer forever, right? So it's like, and so my thought is like the data on this, for these companies, I promise you that yes, they have tons of metrics and data for other things and showing how things are converting, right? But do they actually have the data on, well, this person was actually frustrated because they went through this, this, and this, and then they got to this point and then found this piece here that was just, not really easily worked through, and then that was their breaking point. Like, do they have these breaking point data points, right?
Yeah, it's like how open source bugs a lot of times don't get reported because when something breaks, they just go use something else.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I think if they had that, maybe they would be able to make more informed decisions and not have these deceptive ways as much because they would see the negative effects of it. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see the data. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I went through a process. I don't know if anybody's used Mac Keeper to clean out your hard drive on your
I remember
Mac,
that.
but
Just once, yeah.
I tried the product. I said, "Well, it's all right, but I'm not too thrilled with it." So I deleted it. What I thought I did was I thought I unsubscribed from their newsletters, and that was 3 years ago, and they have emailed me every month since I unsubscribed 3 years ago. And I have done everything in my power to say, hey, stop sending me email. Now it goes into my spam folder and gets deleted. I don't even see it anymore.
This is funny. If you Google Mac Keeper after the website, it's an article saying do not install Mac Keeper on Apple discussions, saying it's been described by various sources as quote highly invasive malware.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. If you're listening to the show, don't yeah. We didn't tell you to download
Don't
Yes.
download
Just,
it.
that's a Q&A discussion, not an official Mac statement. But I
Yeah.
think that it's
Just.
like Norton, the antivirus was just like an actual virus.
Right, yeah. I mean, it slowed your computer down like crazy. I remember back in the day. But hey, you know what? Do your own research on these things, guys. We never said download or don't download these things. Yeah, yeah. Whatever you wish to do.
Awesome. Kayla, what is exciting about this talk for you?
All of it. I'm excited. I'm always excited to hear Todd talk about accessibility. As somebody who's done kind of accessibility as part of their job for a lot of my career, though I've kind of gotten away from it of late. It's always fun to hear Todd talk about accessibility as somebody who's been in the space for a while. And of course, like you said, is in on the W3C discussions.
And the lobster costume.
Oh, and I'm most excited for the lobster costume. That's absolutely true.
Gonna sing Rock Lobster?
I can.
Rock Lobster.
I can even sing it like Peter Griffin.
I played that song for my partner like a couple of months ago. She never heard it. She's like, "The song is awful. Why do you like this song?" I'm like, "This song is great. What are you talking about?"
We should have better like audio stuff this year too, so it'll sound amazing.
I'm pretty sure it won't, so I won't sing
Rock
That's
Lobster.
just your intro
I
your
don't.
intro song though.
It can be my intro song. I won't sing it though. I want people to be actually in the seats when I start my talk.
And not running for the
Exactly. We're leaving early. We're out of here.
doors.
Well, yeah, Todd's the last talk, so they have to stay through his talk if they want to have a chance at any of the giveaways.
Oh, well, snap.
So,
Yeah.
I also have something planned that is going to be like just like 5 minutes or so, not even
Ooh.
at the end of the talk. So I'm just gonna leave that out
Bum,
there
bum,
for
bum.
people.
Oh, this is a surprise for me too. I don't even know what it is.
Sweet.
That'll
Scott, you want to do a station break?
Yeah, awesome. Thank you all so much for joining us so much so far. I see some people out there that are usually here with us. Bro Nifty, Nikki T. Just really excited that everybody's here hanging out with us today. And you know, I didn't really talk too much about it earlier, but I will just take a moment to say, you know, Magnolia.js, right? If you haven't gotten your tickets yet, it's happening October 17th through the 18th here. So we are 6 days out, folks, which is super cool, very exciting. And it's going to be in Jackson, Mississippi, and with the wonderful host, Kayla Sween. So that's going to be such a cool time there, and Richard Sween as well, her husband. So they're quite the duo when it comes to making things happen with this conference. They've been handling it for quite some time now, And you know, I don't know if many people know this, but they you know, put so much effort into this, even, you know, monetarily, and just it's you know, their heart and soul is in growing the developer community, and letting people see that like Jackson, Mississippi is more than maybe what you thought it was, right? And so be sure to go check it out for yourself. Don't just hear it from us or hear it from other people, which I'm sure you will hear a lot of amazing things, because over the years I've heard several amazing things about Magnolia.js, hence why we're chatting with them over the last couple of weeks about Magnolia.js here on JavaScript Jam. Because we only do things and talk about things on here that you know, we can say we would back and want to be a part of and collaborate and talk about. So yeah, I really think you're missing out if you're not going. So make sure you get your tickets if you haven't already. Go to magnoliajs.com. That's magnoliajs.com. Get your tickets there and go see yourself a rock lobster in live and in person.
You even said that like a mainer, so I congratulate you on that one. That's props for that.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Awesome. And if you haven't already, go to javascriptjam.com, subscribe to our newsletter, of course. And if you've gotten any value from anybody up here, you know, please feel free to, if you're listening to the recording or if you're listening live now, please click on their face, follow them, because if you got value from them here, you're probably going to get value from them in other places too. And of course, JavaScript Jam wouldn't mind a follow too. All right. Awesome. Anthony, back to you, sir.
Well, I guess I would throw it to Kayla if there's other things you want to talk about in terms of just in general the conference, things people should know, what they can do to make sure they have the best time possible.
Yes, give us the deets.
Yeah, so we bake in a lot of breaks throughout the conference just to make sure you have time to talk to everybody there and all the speakers and stuff. We will have one sponsor set up. Mr. Kenneth LaFrance is also sponsoring the event, and he'll be selling his artwork there along with Miss Salami. So they'll, yeah, they do acrylic pours, and their artwork's amazing. So I'll have to tag Kenneth in one of the replies to this so y'all can follow him, because he posts the art that they do sometimes. So that's one thing, is go check out their artwork. Also check out the museum while you're there, because it's in the Mississippi Museum of Art. There's a lot of cool stuff there. I hate that we're not overlapping with the Picasso exhibit, because they're actually getting a Picasso exhibit in November, I believe, is when it starts. So that's disappointing. We're gonna have to like plan better next time so that we'll actually have the event when they have a rotating exhibit going on. But yeah, we'll also have costume contests. So we'll have one costume contest on each day of the event in person. We'll have people take pictures, post them on Discord, and we'll vote for them on Discord. But we will also have a virtual costume contest on each day. So we'll have a separate channel on our Discord for that, so you can post pictures of yourself in costume, and people will be able to vote on that, and hopefully get some virtual people. Some, I guess it's not really a giveaway because it's a contest, but, you know, have the virtual folks feel like they're part of the event too. And I think that's a... That's about all I got. Bring stretchy pants. You go eat some good food, so make sure you bring, you plan accordingly. Let's see. I guess the only other thing I gotta say is don't do anything that that's gonna get me in legal trouble, or that's gonna make it
to where I used to. So I used to run summer camps, and something we would always tell all of our counselors, we would say like over and over again, safety is our number one concern. Anytime someone would suggest doing something really wild, to be like, that breaks rule number one.
Exactly.
Hold my beer.
Gosh, with costumes too, I'm just like, okay, make sure that they're not gonna have to call the police on us. The events coordinator person we've been working with, Miss Gwen at the art museum, she is hyped about the Halloween theme. So yeah, don't do anything that would disappoint Miss Gwen.
There you go, folks. Keep it real, y'all. I think
That's
everybody
it.
knows that, hopefully. Really, I mean, the fact that it has to be said, though. Come on, we all know, right?
We've never had any problems with anybody at any of the events, but you never know,
Gotta put
you
it out
know.
there for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if one of these times somebody's gonna come wilding at the
Wilding
conference, you know.
out.
I can't have that. We do have a code of conduct. It's on the
There you
website.
go. Read the code of conduct.
Yeah, there you
If
go.
ever in doubt.
You don't want a large 6'2" lobster coming at you.
Yeah, we'll stick the lobster on you.
Yeah, don't leave anything out to pinch. All right. Very good. This has been fun. I appreciate it.
I gotta say, if I could,
Please.
that Kayla and Richard run a spectacular conference. I went in person last year. I had never been to Jackson. They were so open and welcoming. We hung out. It was great hanging out with the both of them. The conference was, phenomenal. Lots of great speakers. I love the single track. Where you get to hear everybody talk and the different types of talks that are there, and it was just such a, in the venue, it was such a homey type atmosphere that it was just a phenomenal conference. And if I wasn't speaking, I definitely would be attending, and I would highly suggest to everybody that if you can get there, buy a ticket, go, and you'll enjoy it. The food, I don't even start on the food with me because, oh my, that was one of the highlights. So I can't
And
wait
that's
till
coming from a former executive chef, y'all. So,
that. But I just had to say that.
that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's always great to hear good things about awesome things, for sure. Nick says, how do you boil a 6'2" lobster? I was thinking, I don't know, there might be some witches there with some cauldrons. You could probably break it up a little bit.
I was actually going to wear my lobster costume at Code Mash and jump in the hot tub. So
Yeah.
that's the indicator right there. That's how you boil a
You
lobster.
crank the heat up on the hot tub and you do it a little at a time, so it's like a frog, right? They don't know it's coming.
Exactly. Exactly.
I was just going to say, I should give y'all a preview of the food we're going to have
Let's
because, I
hear
mean, if
it.
that. Let's yeah, that's gonna definitely sell coming to the event more than anything else, I think. So we're gonna have Southern food, right, both days. There was a caterer that we had last year. We just decided to use him both days this year. We only used him one day last year. But the food was just so good. So yeah, so on day one, we're gonna have smoked chicken. And it says that it's in like a garlic brown butter. It
Ooh.
says herb sage, natural jus. And then we'll also have braised beef and Gulf Coast style tomato gravy with rice grits. And then, of course, we'll have some sides like collard greens. And my
Fried green tomatoes.
browser just got rid of what I was looking at. Fantastic. Okay, there it is. So we'll have greens. We've got a field salad. Which is onion, tomato, corn, cucumber, spring mix, whatever, your salad option. Let's see. There'll be broccoli and cheese casserole that day and some seared vegetables.
Man.
Oh, and for dessert, this is the best part. We're gonna have a white chocolate bread pudding. So
Ooh.
excited about that. And then there will also be vegan food there. So we are having, oh, I don't have that pulled up, but we're having the Mediterranean place that's local to here, Aladdin, off cater for the vegan folks. So we got you taken care of.
Awesome.
Let's see. On day two, we're having the same one of the same things we had last year because it was so delicious. So we're having a black tea brine chicken That's one of the things we had last year. I think it was fried. It was incredible. And with that, there'll also be a slow cooked pork roast. And we'll have purple hull peas or black eyed peas or whatever you want to call those. Cucumber and tomato salad, corn, and braised cabbage.
That sounds good.
So there you go.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that smoked chicken sounds amazing. I have a smoker, a pellet grill in the back, and I
Nice.
just upgraded that actually about 2 weeks ago to a newer, bigger one because I use it all the time. And I smoked two huge roasts in that sucker for 6 hours the other day, and it was like fall apart amazingness. And about the last 90 minutes or so of it, I put in like those aluminum throwaway pans or whatever with onion and bone broth in there, and phew, man, I just made all the difference in the world, and then sealed it up for about another hour, and it just turned out so good. So it just making me think about it. It's making me think about smoking some more stuff. I'm super excited about that. That's awesome. The food sounds amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, if you want to just, hang out in Jackson, and like have some amazing food, and like you're not even in the tech scene, well, you're probably not listening to us, but just buy a ticket just to go get some amazing food and hang out with some awesome people. Yeah. I mean, seriously, the food sounds worth the ticket price and you're right there. So, wow.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah, you're like, no, really, it is. Yeah, jeez Louise.
I'm looking to see if I can grab an earlier flight to Jackson now that I've heard that menu.
Well, you're already coming early, right? Yeah, T Todd's coming early, and we're gonna go like eat our way through
Oh,
Jackson
nice.
after he gets
Yeah.
here.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun. Oh, I wish I could join y'all. Super cool. Well, does anybody have anything else they'd like to say about Magnolia or upcoming talks they're excited about, or anything else that you'd like to mention?
If I could, I would like to mention that I'll be in Atlanta for Connect Tech on the 26th, I believe it is. Let me check it out real quick here. I'm giving an all-day accessibility workshop for learning how to audit websites and apps. And let me see. So Tuesday, October 24th to Thursday, October 26th. So my workshop's on that Tuesday, and I have a talk on Wednesday about the four principles of accessibility. And there's another conference, amazing conference, lots of great speakers there. But Magnolia definitely has a place in my heart, definitely. So again, buy tickets, buy all the tickets.
Buy all the tickets. That's awesome. Cool. Yeah. So Connect Tech, sounds pretty cool. October 24th, 26th. Pretty cool. Awesome. So if you want
Yeah,
to see,
I'll second Connect Tech. It's a fantastic conference.
awesome. That's really good. I haven't been to it personally, but I've heard a few good things about it. So that's good. But yeah, if you want to see more of Todd, you can see him in Jackson, and then you can also see him in Atlanta. So I don't think he'll be wearing a lobster costume in Atlanta,
You never know.
You never
You never know. It fits the brand, so I'll go for the brand. You know, it's all for the brand.
I really hope you do.
just every talk you do from here on out, lobster costume.
I'm there.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. It's been a blast. Really enjoyed hearing so many of those things that you've been talking about, accessibility and just yeah. It's like makes me think about all the things with AI though too, coming up here with oh my gosh, like all the AI sales calls that are happening now, and so many other things that are going to fall into
Well, if I could
that
ask
category.
a large language model to go through the patterns for me. It can figure it out. That would be nice.
There you go. You could use it as good. I'm saying that there are going to be people using it for bad too. But yes, no, that's a great idea. Yeah, just have the LLM go through for you. Awesome. Well, Anthony, when you figure that one out, you can make at least a couple hundred million off of that. So.
This is one of the first companies I saw pitched like a year ago when ChatGPT blew up, was like a language model thing that basically like negotiates you like slightly cheaper car insurance or like something like that. So it can, if it's like a highly constrained system, it can kind of do it.
Yeah, totally constrained. Yeah. Well, that yeah, I'm excited to see some things come out here soon, some more stuff. So awesome. Pro agent here, pro agent. All right. Thank y'all so much. Greatly appreciate it. Go get your tickets for MagnoliaJS, magnoliajs.com. Hang out with the rock lobster, and I'm sure you'll have a really good time. Looking forward to hearing all that happens here in just a few days. All right.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I had a great time today.
Thank you, Todd.
Yeah, thank you for being
It
here.
was an absolute
Thanks for your
pleasure.
work on this.
Yeah, thank you for real. Like all the effort and time you've put into it sounds amazing.
Oh, yeah. Also, I wanted to give an extra shout out to Todd because Todd helped us set up last year, too. He got in a little bit early and not only spoke last year, but helped us set
Oh,
up.
wow.
So,
Wow.
yeah, Todd's a great person.
All hands in.
Oh, don't go telling everybody that. Come on now. I gotta.
He only does it for us, though. Not everybody. Only for us.
I gotta keep up that Twitter image that I'm an angry old man.
Yes, right. Yeah, come on,
Yeah,
bro.
I mean, like people who only see your tweets and have not heard you speak might have a different impression of you sometimes. It's like you have
I
very
get
different
exactly.
modes. It's pretty, and I get why, because it's like people come at these conversations sometimes like a kind of combative way, but you're not actually like, if you actually talk to you, like you're a very reasonable dude, so.
I hope I can, I hope that's, the way I come across. I'm not
Yeah, I think you come across as
just.
someone who's very passionate about the points you want to make, and I think that's totally fine.
Yeah, and that goes to, I think just with everybody else, we have people in our lives that are disabled, and we are their voices. I am the voice of family members who are disabled, and I'm doing the work for them, so.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Really glad that take in your skill sets and your knowledge and, wanting to put it forth to something good in this world. So not everybody can say they do that. So super cool. All right. Well, thanks again, Todd, Kayla, Anthony for hanging out with me and co-hosting this. Bro Nifty and Nikki T hanging out in the audience this whole time. Heck yeah. If you guys ever want to come up and say something, feel free.
Lifers.
Lifers. Woo!
Got a packed crowd today.
Yeah, boy. We'll get some
Standing room only.
standing room only. Absolutely. By the way, Nikki T's with Open Sauce now, so that's awesome. Doing a lot of open source stuff, which he really thrives in. So that's super cool. Really excited to see that journey and where that goes for him. I'm sure you're seeing a lot more content from him as I have been, and I'm sure there's much more down the road. So super excited for that. So follow Nikki T if you haven't already. All right, y'all. Thank you so much. We love y'all. Appreciate y'all. And we'll see you in the next one. All right, y'all. Thank you so much. Love you.